Good afternoon, and welcome to our broadcast. We, the Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church, bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are so happy to have you join us today. I'm Pastor Cedric A. Polnitz, Sr. We hope and pray that this ministry will encourage you today and for many days to come. So now, without any further ado, let's go to our sermon of the day. God bless you.
Let them hear you speaking through me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen and amen. The church said amen. And God is good all the time. All the time, the Lord is good. Amen. Let us remember our topic that we've been dealing with for the last week or so. It's not all about what you do, but it's all about who you do it for. Amen. Amen. That's our sermon topic, our sermon series for the next few weeks. And last week we started with the sermon, amen, the prize to be desired. The prize to be desired. Can somebody say prize?
Prize.
Amen. The prize to be desired, the Lord Jesus Christ. Uh-huh. That ought to be our ultimate goal,
yes,
is to satisfy, amen, and to seek and to chase, as the choir used to sing the song, chasing after you, the chase after Jesus Christ. He is the prize. He is that goal that we're running towards, amen, the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Prize. 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 I can remember back when I was a little boy, since this is my birthday, let me reminisce a little bit. I can remember back when I was knee high to a grasshopper. Y'all know they say that all the time. I can remember being in the grocery store with my mom, and we would turn down the cereal aisle. And as we turn down the cereal aisle, you see all of the different brands of cereal. You see Corn Flakes, you see, you know, Cracker Pop, you know, Rice Krispies, and you see Sugar Smacks and Cookie Crisp and what else? Fruity Pebbles, and you see all of the cereals as you walk down the aisle. And of course, us kids, the first thing we see is the box and all of the nice colors. But also that came along with that box was a prize. But as a child, I can remember there was a prize in each box that was desired. I could care less about the cornflakes, because some of them were nasty anyway, you know. But, you know, I did like Frosted Flakes, though. Frosted Flakes was the bomb, you know, because Tony the Tiger, he was the dude, he was the man, you know. They're great, you know. Yeah, I remember that, don't you? So I can remember, like I said, as a child, there was a prize in the box, and they would put the prize all the way down at the bottom of the box. So that means that you had to eat all of the cornflakes before you get to the bottom of the box. Unless you were like some of us that cheated a little bit. We pour it out in a bowl and reach down and in and get the prize. You see what I'm saying? Because there was a prize to be desired. We had to go through something to get it. You had to deal with obstacles. Come on, somebody. Y'all better talk back to me in this house. In order to get the prize that we desire. And since I'm talking about my childhood, I remember them cereal boxes and how they used to have the prize at the bottom. Well, I got a little older and I started getting interested in girls. Around about the first, second grade, there was this fine chick in my class called Gloria. Amen. Don't y'all call Alabama and ask who Gloria Jean is now. Amen. I'm going to cut this off on the live so can't nobody see none of it back in Alabama. Amen. But that was this girl. It was in the second grade. And I couldn't get my lesson for nothing in this world, because I kept looking at this little girl, Gloria. I finally got the nerve to write her a love letter. And, you know, I wanted her to know that I liked her, and I wanted to, you know, be her boyfriend, you know. Well, I wrote that letter, and I got the nerve to hand it over, to have somebody pass it up the next aisle. Because, you know, the smart kids, they sat up front. Us, they like to cut up, we sat in the back, you know. But she had my eye. She had my eye. So I sent that letter up the aisle so that they could pass that letter up to Gloria. Well, guess what happened? My second grade teacher intercepted the letter on the way to her desk. And she read the letter out loud in front of the class and embarrassed me. And everybody in class was laughing because they knew I never would have a chance with Gloria Jean. That broke my heart, y'all. But she was a prize to be designed. Well, I tell you what. I left that school, went to another school, and, you know, people, you know, I guess they still remember what happened in the second grade. Well, somewhere around about the 10th or 11th grade, I got word that Gloria needed a prom date. Come on now. Y'all see what happened? Amen. I went through all of that, and I waited a long time, but I finally, I got to go to prom with her. And we danced. Amen. We had a lot of good dancing and sharing of time. And my cousins, you know how your cousins can kind of help maneuver and make things happen. They kind of fixed it up to where I would be the one that would take pictures with her and take her to the prom and everything. So I finally got my prize. Amen. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, you have to go through something. You're going to have to go through some hurts, some embarrassing moments. Sometimes you got to go through some ups, and you got to go through some downs. But finally, I got my prize. Well, let's look at this letter that Paul is trying to show to us on today. Last week, we started this series to discuss how Paul's distant pastoralship was being tested. We said that Paul was reminding us that in order to get through whatever it is that we're dealing with, we got to rejoice, y'all. Because if you don't rejoice, you got to have a positive attitude in order to make it through your rough times. You're going to have to pray without ceasing. Sometimes you got to be thankful in all things. Because this race is not easy. We're running for a goal. We're running for a prize. Because we're trying to get to heaven. And the only way we get there is through Jesus Christ. He's our prize to be desired. So as Paul reminds us last week to have those rejoice reminders, he jumps right into chapter 3 and he tells us, rejoice in the Lord. If we could put this into today's words, I believe Paul would say it this way. Hallelujah, anyhow. Uh-huh. Amen. Through your good days. Yeah. Hallelujah, anyhow. Well, through your bad days, I'm going to rejoice anyhow. Yeah. Through your stormy days, because we're going to have some storms. Amen. You're going to have those desires that you're reaching for. And somewhere along the way, the devil is going to intercept your dream. Like that teacher intercepted that letter. Amen. And going to embarrass you. They're going to say, I thought you was one of them church folk. They're going to say, I thought you was one of them Jesus people. Now look at you, you ain't got no job. Now look at you, you ain't got no money. But baby, keep on rejoicing. In the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyhow. Paul reminds us that staying focused on Christ is the prize to be desired. So you can't get distracted, because that's what the devil does. He'll try to distract you, even from a prison cell, even from house arrest. Paul is still trying to protect his congregation, his church congregation, from church shenanigans. How many of y'all know there's some shenanigans that go on in God's house? Yeah. And now he's inspiring us to not lose our joy. That's why I say rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. That's why I told y'all to text 10 people last week. Say rejoice in the Lord. Because see, our joy is not based on what's happening. Our joy is based on who we know. Yeah, Paul's joy is based on keeping his eyes and encouraging the church to keep her eyes on that prize to be desired. So once he says rejoice in verse number one, he jumps into verses 2-8 with the word watch. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Can somebody say watch? Watch. He didn't only say watch, but what did it say on verse number two? Come on, give me verse number two. Watch and beware of dogs.
Yeah.
Woo! Come on, somebody.
Yeah. Right.
There's some dogs. There's some dogs. Hey, you got to watch out for them dogs in the church. He said, watch. And that word reminds me. Y'all remember when Jesus said, I'm going to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, and I need you disciples to stand watch. Oh, come on, somebody. Because see, in a Christian's life, yeah, I know we're blessed, but you still need to watch. Oh, come on, somebody. Yeah, I know you are highly favored, but you still need to watch. Yeah, because there's some dogs out there. Yeah, we got to watch. And see, it says be aware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. And see, when we talk about watching these dogs, oh, hallelujah, I'm not talking about, you know, it's just a regular average house dog. I'm not talking about your pets, you know, that you love and you let sleep in the bed with you, let crawl up on the couch, and the dogs that you know, let eat some of the food off your table. I'm not talking about the pet dogs, but Paul was referring to evil workers and false teachers seeping into the church.
Yeah.
Gotta watch them dogs. Yeah, I'll praise and shout and run on Sunday. Hallelujah, but I'm watching. Amen. I'm watching while I'm working. Amen, somebody. So today, my brothers and sisters, we want to cover, last week we said we needed some reminders to rejoice. This week we need to have reminders to resist.
Well,
come on, somebody. There it is right there. Resistance reminders. And see when we bring it into what Paul was saying, Paul was referring to the false teachings that were going on inside of the church. And what he meant was not, like I said, your regular house dog, but he was talking about wild dogs. And y'all know back in the Jewish days, wild dogs were not considered to be house dogs. They were dogs that were outcasts. They were animals that would run around and leave trash everywhere. Everywhere they went, they would bark and make a whole lot of noise. They were just wild dogs.
Yeah.
And Paul said that these leaders that are teaching these things in my church are like dogs. They run in packs.
Yeah.
Y'all ever seen a lot of preachers run in packs?
Yeah.
Oh, come on now. You ever seen a lot of them deacons running packs? Amen. I remember back in the early 2000s, maybe late 1900s, there used to be a place called Denny's down on Metro Center in Nashville. If you go in there anytime in the evening, you might see a pack of preachers up in there. Amen. And they ain't talking about preaching either. Amen. See, they run together. That's why I don't run with a whole lot of folk. Amen. Amen. I got a certain amount of people that I like to rub elbows with. I can't rub elbows with everybody, because everybody ain't teaching the right thing. Oh, and see, you got those dogs, they ran in the packs and they devoured things in their path. And I don't know if y'all ever experienced some wild dogs, but you know, sometimes if you leave your trash out on the curb, they'll knock the trash can over and they'll get into the trash and have trash all over your street. Yeah. Oh, them wild dogs. Sometimes in church, my brothers and sisters, they'll get in your church and they'll tear your church up and leave folks just stranded all straggle out in the street. Amen. They'll run folks away. Amen. I'm not talking about only preachers, but there's some choir members that'll run folk away too. Amen. I ain't talking about just choir members. There's some church folk that'll run folk away too. Amen. They make a whole bunch of noise. You hear them before they get there, you hear them when they're there, and you hear them after they're gone. Just making a whole bunch of racket and noise. And I come to tell you, we've got to watch them dogs. Yeah, and Paul said these leaders were teaching that circumcision for Gentiles was a way to be saved. It was a mutilation of the body, was their way of showing and proving that you earned your salvation. And Paul said, no, I need to remind you, church, that you are saved through Jesus Christ, not by the cutting of your skin, not by the mutilation of your skin. It's not all about what you do, but it's about who you're doing it for. Yeah, see, salvation, my brothers and sisters, oh yeah, is a gift. Yeah, you can't earn it. Grace, you can't earn it. It's given. Yeah, yeah, see, we have to realize the reason why we come to church, and I hope that's your reason why you come to church, is to serve a living and a buried and a risen Savior who gave his life for your sins. Anything else? Oh, yeah, we need to resist. Amen. Resist those urges. Oh, yeah, that pop up in the church, those false teachings. And see, first point is false teachings. And see, a lot of sermons that you listen to on the radio now, it ain't about Jesus Christ, it's more about politics. Oh, come on now. Amen. Yeah, I know maybe sometimes some businesses in your community might need to have a little protest or whatever, but I ain't concerned about protesting. I'm concerned about beating the devil down. Yeah, because the devil is rising up all around us, and we focus on over here, and the devil is taking our children over here. Yeah. See, even Snoop Dogg said something this week. Snoop Dogg said, wait a minute, why they put all that LGBTQ stuff in children's movies? They should not be doing that kind of stuff. Yeah, it came from Snoop Dogg. Yeah, puff, puff, pass, Snoop Dogg. Yeah, drop it like a hot Snoop Dogg. Yeah, that's Snoop Dogg. Amen. But see, there's still a point where you should have a cutoff. Children don't need to be exposed to adult stuff. And that's false teaching. A lot of folks are letting that false teaching in the church. Oh, it's okay. It ain't okay. He made Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve. Come on, somebody. Yeah, see, a lot of false teaching. Now, I didn't say we couldn't love them, but we got to tell them what's right. Amen. Yeah. I wish y'all would try to marry two men up in here. Amen. I wish y'all would try to marry two women up in here. That's not of God. That's of the world, and that's false teaching. You got to watch them dogs. Watch them dogs. See, and they were bringing this stuff into the church. False teachings, politics, prosperity preaching. You have a $100 line over here, your $50 line right here, and your $20 line right here. Well, what about the rest of us? Amen. I could have gave $1,000, but you ain't called me. So that's, I ain't going to give you nothing then. Amen. We talking about shutting the doors of the church. Close them doors. Close them doors. Everybody here, we got $20. Wait a minute, baby. That ain't what we're here for. We are here to save souls. Talking about close them doors. No, it's not about prosperity. No, it's not about politics. And if our churches are not preaching Jesus Christ, if he's not the center of our worship, then baby, it's time for you to get up out of there. And we're chasing all these people out here, these popular names, and all of these recording artists, all of these actors following after them, and all this kind of, no, that's false teaching. Stand on the truth. The false teachers were spreading wrong information and trying to convince the Philippian church that doing things to the body or out of works was a way to get to Jesus Christ. Yeah. And Paul was letting them know, no, it's not about what you do, but it's about who you're doing it for. See, we must know the truth in order to resist what is fake. Verse number 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice, there that word is again, rejoice in Jesus Christ, have no confidence in the flesh. What Paul was letting them know is that true worship comes from the heart, not from what you do to your body. Amen. Because see, a lot of rituals, you have to do stuff to yourself in order to be accepted in the club. Oh, y'all ain't never heard of hazing? Amen. I'm finna mess up now. I know y'all some frats out there. Amen. Cues. Amen. I know y'all out there. Cues and pretty boys. Amen. Amen. Them alphas. Amen. Amen. What's the red ones? The kappas. Yeah, the kappas. Amen. And then the sorrows. I know y'all out there. Amen. All right. Who is that? The AKs, I know y'all out there. But see, it's not about what you do to the body, oh hallelujah, that gets you in the Jesus club. Come on, somebody. But it's about accepting him as your Lord and Savior that gets you. Oh, come on now. Yeah, I'm finna get me some emails now. That's all right. But in order to know what's fake, you gotta know what's real. Woo! Because see, a lot of us are falling for fake stuff, for fake teachings. That's why folks are filling up churches all over this world. And that church is not teaching Jesus Christ. But it's all about, oh, getting the pastor a new Mercedes. It's all about, oh, our first lady wears the biggest hats in town. It's all about our choir. They got the best singing recording contract in the country. No, it's not about those things. It's about Jesus Christ. See, when you know what's real, you'll know what's fake. And I remember working at the bank. Sister Carrie can attest to this. When I worked at Regions and when I worked at Truist, they send us to counterfeit bills training. And you go to those trainings and you look at the fake and the real. Because when you look at the fake, you can tell what has the flaws. And you can look at the real and see what you can do to compare those bills to one another. Yeah. And see, if you don't know, come on, somebody. Yeah. There's a lot of folks flocking to Saint so-and-so today. Yeah. Come on. A lot of folks flocking to Mount so-and-so today. Yeah. A lot of folks flocking to Holiness Headquarters somewhere today. A lot of folks are flocking to assembly of so-and-so today because they see, oh, they don't know what's real. And if they're not preaching Jesus Christ, baby, you need to come on up out of there. Yeah. See, the devil is slick. See, you got to watch. Watch them dogs. You got to watch false teachings. The devil is always trying to make God's promises or God's will look dim or look unattainable. Because you know, we get discouraged every now and then when it seems like it's something that's unattainable. But God's promises are true. But that devil will keep telling you, you can't do it. Oh no, he ain't coming. Oh no, he can't heal your body. Oh no, no, you never gonna make it. No, you gotta block all of that out and just know that your God said what he said. Yeah. See, John 8:44 says, Satan is the father of lies. Well, if you know what's real, then you know what's fake. If you know the truth, and when you hear something like a lie, you know it ain't right. Well, come on, somebody. Well, how many of y'all ever, amen, lied to your parents? And they already know the truth. They just waiting on you to see what you're going to say. Well, come on now. They're going to let you hang yourself. You done went all the way around the curve and back. You done went all the way over the hill and down through the field and back. And they just waiting on you. Just going to just hang yourself. And they know the truth all the way. And see, when you know the truth, you can see when fakeness is all. And see, James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee. Sometimes we got to resist those things that are out that are trying to root us up from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah. See, not only do we have to have resistance, remind us from false teachings, but we got to make sure we watch out for those false goals as well. Look at verse 4. I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. All right, so we talked about resisting false teachings. We also got to resist false goals, because false goals, my brothers and sisters, those things we're chasing after, those things will not sustain us. The only thing that's going to sustain us is chasing after Christ. He says, seek ye first his kingdom. And when you seek him, then all of these other things will be added. Oh, come on now. And see, Paul, he had an issue with these false teachers because they were teaching things about circumcision and you are a Gentile, you'll never be a Jew, and you can't be saved. And you know all of that stuff going on in the church. And now people in the church is wondering, well, am I ever going to be one of Jesus' sons or daughters? Am I ever going to be accepted in the fold? And they have done spreaded all that confusion throughout the church. So in verse 4-6, Paul says to these false leaders that, well, since you're trying to bring up credentials, because what they were trying to make you see is you had to do stuff in order to be accepted. Well, y'all remember we talked about that hazing, right? You got to do stuff in order to get in the club. He said, well, if anybody ought to know about having credentials, I should have credentials. And if anybody can brag, he said, I can be the one that can brag the most. Amen. So Paul says, okay, if anybody can be recognized for what they have done, you know, I'm more of a Jew than y'all are. But at the end of the day, me being a Jew don't matter. Come on, somebody. At the end of the day, me being a Q or a Kappa, oh, come on, somebody. I ain't say you couldn't be now. I'm just saying, at the end of the day, that thing don't matter. What matters is the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, come on, somebody. Me being a pastor of a church, that don't matter. Come on, somebody. What matters is at the end of the day, I'm saved and sanctified and filled with this Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah, you got your credentials on your job. You got your 8-year degree. You got all of this and you got all of that. Those things are fine, baby. But at the end of the day, it don't get you nowhere. Huh? Can't take that in the grave with you. Come on, somebody. That diploma still be up on the wall at your house. Those credentials, oh, hallelujah, all of those things mean nothing when it comes to running for Jesus Christ. Amen. And Paul was letting them know, okay, well, since y'all want to talk, Paul said, let's go down the list. Look at verse number 5. He says, circumcised the 8th day. That was a Jewish tradition that all male sons would be circumcised as a sign of the covenant between God and Adam. And y'all know what circumcision is, right? It's the cutting of the foreskin. And so that is a tradition that Paul says, well, since y'all talking about circumcision, I'm circumcised. Oh, come on, somebody. In other words, what he was letting them know, I'm more of a Jew than some of y'all are. Then he said, look at here, of the tribe of Benjamin. And y'all know Benjamin was one of the first tribes where the first king of Israel came from. In other words, he said, I'm part of royalty. Oh, come on, somebody. And I know some of us, we got it good. We ain't really worked a day in our lives, but we trust babies. Amen. When them trust fund babies, any trust fund babies in here? Amen. Some of us done had to work, but I know some of y'all, man. Amen. Y'all had that silver spoon in your mouth. And what Paul was saying is, I come from a tribe of royalty. We had the first king. Saul. He was named after him, too. Y'all see me? Come on. Y'all better talk back to him. King Saul was the first king, right? What was Paul's name before he got converted? I'm going to see if y'all been to Bible study. Amen. And look at what he said. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. In other words, I ain't got no mixed blood in me. Come on, somebody. Because you know, a lot of us got a little something, something of everything in our blood now, right? Amen. I might look dark-skinned, but I got a little Cherokee running down through there. I got a little, amen, little German running down through there. I got all kinds. You see what I'm saying? But Paul says, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. In other words, I'm oh, hallelujah, I'm real, babe. I'm 100 USDA. And he proved his credentials. But look at what he says. He says, concerning zeal and persecuting the church. Watch this in verse number 6. He said, concerning zeal and persecuting the church, touching the righteous, which is in the law, blameless. He said, I did all of these things. I persecuted the church. I was a hell raiser. I was out there trying to kill Christians. But guess what? I am the Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm the one that's got more credentials than y'all. But guess what? I count all of that as nothing for the sake of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I know you got your, amen, amen, your credentials. You made your accomplishments in life. But guess what? Those things are nothing when it comes to chasing and running after Jesus Christ. Those things are like false goals. And see, Paul was saying, I'm glad of who I am. I'm glad of the things that I've accomplished. And I have accomplished a lot. But I'm also glad of who I belong to. And see, that matters more than what I have. Woo! Oh, somebody, y'all better talk back to me in this house today. I know a lot of us, we like what we like. We got our fine cars. We got our fine houses, but guess what? Oh, hallelujah. There's a lot of folks that's in California that lost their homes this week. Oh, but at the end of the day, if you don't have Jesus Christ, yeah, everything else. Oh, and see, Paul says, no matter what I did for myself or to myself, see, when I found Christ, those false goals in my life mean nothing. Go to number eight. Verse number 8. Let's hurry up and get out of here. Well, Paul was letting us know the dogs, those people that was trying to get into the church, they had the big head. They had them egos. And y'all ever seen people with just a big head and a big ego? They's head so big they can't fit through the door. You know, those kind of people. You know, Paul was, he was letting them know that your accomplishments don't mean nothing if you're not chasing after Christ. See, he looks, he says right here in verse number 8, ye doubtless, and I count all things but loss. There it is, loss. See, your 8-year degrees, your doctorates, and your master's, and all of those things are good, but it's nothing but loss when it's compared to Jesus Christ. Look at what he said. I may own my own business, but that's lost. I may have my own a following. I may have my own community thing, but those things are just a loss but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. See, when you're running towards a real goal, there are going to be some obstacles in your way. And see, Jesus Christ is the prize to be desired. And we have to let others know that he's the only one that can satisfy your yearning. See, you're running for something and you're trying to get somewhere, but maybe you're running after the wrong things. See, he says, I counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Because guess what? Paul was educated. Paul did a whole lot of things. He made some accomplishments. But guess what? When he was locked up in prison, all of that had faded away. You talking about somebody that still got joy? That's real joy. When everything is gone, all your friends maybe have turned their backs on you. That's real joy. When you know God's got you. Amen. When you know that it's like that Job situation where he says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. You see what I'm saying? When you know whose hands you're in, you don't have no pity party like nobody else. When you know whose hands you're in, he says, I count it all loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Education is good. I'm not saying don't get your education. Having your own possessions and material things are good. I'm not saying don't strive to build your wealth and things like that. But guess what? Don't be like those who put all of their trust in those things.
Amen.
And when tragedy comes and sweeps it away, because storms will happen in life, guess what?
Amen.
You're going to have somebody to lean on.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing that's going to help you get back to where you need to be.
Well, yeah.
So as we close this sermon today, I know we kept you here for a minute. I would like to remind you to keep your eyes focused on the prize to be desired. Well, in the second grade, I didn't get Gloria Jean, but I knew her and we were friends and, you know, went to different schools and separate schools and things like that. We didn't have the cell phones like y'all got now. We couldn't keep in touch, but, you know, back then you had to wait till you got home to call somebody. You had to, you know, those kinds of things. We don't have those instant messages and things like we have now, but somewhere around the 10th and 11th grade, I finally got a chance to take her to prom. We got to make sure that we keep our eyes focused on the prize, Jesus Christ. Secondly, we got to watch dogs. He said, beware of dogs. Stay encouraged and don't stop reaching for your prize. He's telling us that we need to be reminded to watch out for false teachings, because, you know, a lot of us, we can be blinded by things that we see that look good, but it may not be good for us. We got to be aware of false teachers, and we got to be aware of false goals, because the scripture says, God says, thou shalt have no gods before me. And a lot of times we put our goals and dreams ahead of God. But we got to make sure that God is first. He's our goal. He's the one that we're chasing after. He's the one that's real. And once we make sure that we are resisting these false teachings, resisting these false goals, we can make it to the true goal. And that is the goal and the prize of winning Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. May God keep you.
To God be the glory for all of the things that he has done. Amen and amen. Once again to you, our radio listening family, we thank you for tuning in to the Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church Sunday afternoon broadcast. Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church is located 7628 Highway 52, Orlando, Tennessee. Our phone number is 615-654-2549. And remember, God is great and greatly to be praised. Have a wonderful and blessed evening.